once more. Anyway, Rishi Sunak became Prime Minister today, Liz Truss is out, and some people, particularly the Labour Party, are not surprisingly demanding a general election be called forthwith. Now, why is that? Because obviously Labour is riding high in the polls. I'd be fascinated to see the first opinion poll that comes in right after Rishi Sunak has taken over. Because, of course, a new Prime Minister or a new leader of a party, even an opposition, tends to get a honeymoon. The party jumps at the polls. Bear in mind the Conservative Party is about 30 points behind Labour in the polls. The Conservative Party almost at a historic low in support. So I'll be fascinated to see how much it's going to jump, 5%, 10%, something like that. The Conservative Party is so far behind Labour, probably the Conservative Party will still remain to be behind Labour even in its honeymoon. Now, for the Conservative Party, well, I have to remember that 90s song, which is Labour's theme tune in their triumphant election 1997, things can only get better because things are so dreadful for the Conservative Party, the only way is up, to cite another 90s song title. It can't go any lower. And Rishi Sunak, I mean, he's got more emotional intelligence than Liz Truss, who doesn't. He's got a more sensible economic plan, more moderate, is not such an ideological zealot, and so on. So improve things a little bit. But so Labour, they're demanding this new election because there's a new Prime Minister. But the UK does not have to have another election when a new Prime Minister comes in. Everybody knows that. You don't have to be constitutionally illiterate to think that is required. And very often the UK has changed Prime Minister and yet not called a general election. So what people do in their constituencies is they vote for candidates to be members of Parliament for that constituency, one MP per constituency, and whichever party has the majority in the House of Commons provides the Prime Minister. And that's the way it works. Labour is perfectly cognizant of that system. Labour has used that system itself. Now, I'm aware of the is-ought problem. Just because it is this way doesn't prove that it ought to be this way, or that it ought not. Now, that's a separate argument. You could recognise the system is this way, but think it shouldn't be this way and want to change it. All right, that's plausible. But anyway, the UK people do not elect their Prime Minister, nor indeed does the House of Commons elect the Prime Minister. But whoever has the majority of the House of Commons will be summoned by the King and saying, who will ask, can you form a government? If he or she says yes, then the King will commission that person to be Prime Minister, as indeed happened today. That's why Rishi Sunak is Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, First Lord of the Treasury, Minister for the Civil Service, and Minister for the Union. That last title means preserving the oneness of the United Kingdom, keeping Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, and England together. So that is his task, which is not as easy as it used to be, not a foregone conclusion, with a lot of people in Northern Ireland saying they want to vote to leave the UK and integrate with the Irish Republic, with the SNP quite strong in Scotland, and so on. And I think Rishi Sunak is actually going to speak to Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister for Scotland, unlike Liz Truss, who moronically said she was just going to pretend as though that woman didn't exist. So the Conservatives are not suicidal. I'm thinking the Conservative survival instinct might kick in. Well, it did somewhat in the fact that Liz Truss has booted out. While there'll be no early election now, you'd have to be certifiably insane as a Conservative to want an election when your party's so far behind the polls. It can only improve, even if not by much. In 2 years, the economy might improve, something might happen, and closer to election, people tend to scrutinise the major opposition party a bit more. Do we like this manifesto? Do these pledges add up? And things like that. And the governing party tends to claw back support to the last year before an election. So the five-year electoral term, the Conservatives won a handsome victory in December 2019, are therefore entitled to rule for the whole five-year term. Everyone's watchword at the moment is stability. All right then, so no election. An election will be instability. Now, admittedly, if it were an election called today and the vote held next month, then Labour would probably be returned with a thumping majority. And that would provide stability, a very strong Labour government with Sir Keir Starmer as Prime Minister. But anyway, the Conservative Party is absolutely entitled to rule for over 2 years from now. And we've had two early elections in recent years, 2019 and 2017. So I think it might be nice to actually go for the full five-year term for a change. Governments tend to call elections early at a time that suits them. They choose when they have a tax cut. You think a tax cut might make a government more popular. Ha, ha, ha. Just look what happened. The idea that always makes you more popular has been tested to destruction by Liz Truss because of the deleterious effect it had on inflation and the value of the pound sterling. Now, all of these Rishi Sunak forecasts, he had the moral courage to say, no, that's a bad idea, even though that's what the Conservative base wanted to hear. Had he parroted Liz Truss's line, he might have well have won the election. And, you know, the Conservative Party has had three prime ministers this year. They don't want a fourth. So Rishi Sunak very likely will lead the Conservative Party into the next Westminster general election in just over 2 years' time. Remember, elections, calling them early, is in the gift of the Prime Minister to advise His Majesty the King to dissolve the House of Commons, thereby triggering a general election within 6 weeks. You might remember there was the Fixed Terms Parliament Act passed in 2011 under the coalition government when the Conservative Party and the Liberal Democrats were in coalition. And that said that an early election could only be called if two-thirds of the House of Commons voted to do so. Now, that was repealed this March. So really now it is by Prime Minister or fiat when an election is called. So the UK does not elect its prime ministers, and there is no legal or moral reason for the UK to call an election now. Anyway, Boris Johnson, obviously, he took over Theresa May in July 2019, said he wasn't going to call an election, but he changed his mind. And then in October that year was trying to do it, and Labour and the other parties, the SNP, wouldn't let him. In November, they relented, they voted for an early election, and you see what saw what happened in December 2019. So, and Boris Johnson's very hypocritical, because when Gordon Brown took over from Tony Blair in June 2007, Boris Johnson, writing in the Daily Telegraph, and he was then a Conservative MP as well, demanded that Gordon Brown call an immediate general election. Of course, Dr. Brown refused to do so, even though he was a bit ahead of the polls, not much, maybe 5%. He bottled it in September 2007, even though Labour probably would have won. The trouble is, Labour would have gone bankrupt. They were already millions of pounds in debt. And they had to run an election on a shoestring. He would have had a bit of a honeymoon as a new prime minister with a growing economy and things like that. When else? Obviously, when Theresa May took over from David Cameron in July 2016, she said likewise, there shall be no early election. She relented the following year, May 2017, when her party was 20 percentage points ahead in the opinion polls. Well, opportunity knocks. This is not going to come again. She had seemed to have such a long honeymoon, and a popular new leader with a popular Brexit policy, having just triggered that Article 50 notice to the European Union, signalling the United Kingdom's intention to withdraw from the European Union. However, the election didn't pan out so well. Conservative Party got the highest share of the vote, 42%, and the most seats, but it was under the magic number of 326 seats, therefore not a majority in the House of Commons, a plurality, the largest single party, but not a majority of the seats, and so on. So there's numerous examples in recent years when a new prime minister's come in without a general election. Say November the 28th, 1990, when Margaret Thatcher stood down as prime minister, John Major came in as prime minister, again, no election. He waited at the last minute, when he had to, because the time limit was up, April 1992, when he pulled off a surprise election victory. Or when Harold Wilson stood down in March 1976 as Prime Minister of a Labour government, Jim Callaghan became Prime Minister and again didn't call an election. He waited over 2 years. It's really actually a vote of no confidence, caused the election to be held a few months earlier than it need to have been. So no, there's actually no reason for that. The constitutional precedents are crystal clear. There are times when new Prime Ministers have come in and called elections. Sir Anthony Eden in 1955, when Churchill stood down within a month, Anthony Eden, he took the weather, he saw his party had a commanding lead in the polls, honeymoon, yeah, called it and won it. But you don't need to do so. And Harold Macmillan took over in 1957. He didn't call an election immediately as the Conservative Prime Minister. When Sir Alec Douglas Hume took over in October 1963, he didn't call an election. He waited to the last minute, you know, the timetable expired, there had to be an election. So there is no need for there to be an election now. And Labour are just doing this for entirely partisan reasons of being grossly hypocritical about this, as indeed Boris Johnson was hypocritical on this self-same issue. Thanks for watching my channel. So subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.